Again, good morning. So this morning, the sermon is Spirit, Energy, and Physical Birth. And of course, the physical birth is the here and now of this earth. The earth is of a birth, of the outer. It is the creation of God's beautiful imagination and love. And we are spirit, and we have this wonderful energy that makes motion, that gives us our thoughts, that stimulates our imagination and our intelligence and our creativity. It's what makes the hand move. I am spirit. I am the energy. And this energy is God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is Christ consciousness. It is the I am-ness. It is the one-ship that is life itself. And in this morning, when we were doing the responsive reading, when we get caught up in the negativity and we pull ourselves away from this realization, we then have pulled ourselves away from who we are. We have stepped outside of God's infinite and eternal goodness and walked into this lack of error thought. And then the race mind begins and we get scattered and everything's flying faster than we can keep up as we try to make decisions and think things through and do all these things that we didn't need to be doing in the first place. We're created in the image of something wonderful and all-powerful, and it is working through us. And to know this, we allow that to vibrate out of us and become the pathway of which we take our steps in our daily living. See, we are the creators simply because we were created by the Creator. Back when I was in jail, not serving time but working there, that you all know, but better clarify that sometimes. You never know. There was a time where people, they did a lot of crafts, arts and crafts, and the women were doing these daily affirmations, and they made up these wonderful little cards. And two of the women gave me the cards. They said, I want you to keep these. And I never forgot them. But one of them says, you are not the victim. You are the creator. So if I'm still walking around as a victim, then who's the one creating it? Now, things may have started off in the wrong path when I was younger and got fed some bad information, but after a while, I'm the one taking charge. I'm the one responsible. I'm the one that needs to wake up that is the lies that I've been living. But I can stop living in them. It doesn't matter how long I've been living in them, because we're talking about God, which is timelessness. We're talking about this eternal moment that we can only live in. I can think about a future and I can reminisce on the past, but this is the now that I live in. And it's very interesting because we can look at a clock and watch it tick by, but I can only watch it now, you see. And it's a hard thing to grasp, but once we grasp it, that is where I am living. I live in the now, no other place. So when I'm sending my brain all over the place into other spaces, I'm kind of just going into that negativity and I'm walking away from the God self. You know, there's this whole thing that I can have faith, I can have a lot of faith, but I can have faith without works. And faith without works is dead. Because I got all this faith, yes, God, I believe in you, oh God, have mercy, oh God, my salvation, oh God, this and that, and I'm not doing a thing about it. That's a tragedy, to be a child of God and have no works with my faith. You see, we're designed to step up and do the work. And we're being given all that God is in wisdom and in love and in grace and in salvation and in peace, in mercy and in forgiveness. And we can work these tools as we go about our day. Thinking, creating, ideally creating a more positive way of looking at things. You know, often we have to stop and push aside all the stuff and go, wait a minute, things are going pretty good. I got so much garbage in my head, I forget things are going pretty good. And it takes time to surrender that. Because out there, the race mind world is going to fill your head every day with tons of garbage. It's going to try and manipulate you into listening to them. Either they're trying to sell you something, or they want you to stay tuned to what they're doing. But they're not, more than likely, going to give you this that you already have? How can they give you what you already have? How can I sell to you what you already own? You come here and we tell you this. You know, and in this particular church, we're not going to try and sell anything to you. That's not what we do. We're not going to try and take anything from you. We're not going to scare you into coming here, or you're going to be damned. You can come here or not. You'll be fine. But if you want to practice what we're teaching, we'll get you to preach. We'll teach you what Jesus was teaching. Not what man teaches. Not what man has all twisted up. Recently I was looking into the whole thing about when they talk about hell in the Bible. It never says you're going to infinite hell. It says you go into eternal hell because it's eternal. We are eternal. And if I'm going to trash myself with nothing but negative thinking, I'm going to go into eternal hell. There's no way around it. But it tells us also in 2 Timothy's and a couple other places, know that when you're in hell, God's still there with you. Well, if God's still with me, what's he doing? Laughing? look at you. Well, that's man. That's what we do. We're sarcastic. We're ruthless. We're shallow. Uncaring. Not us, but you know what I mean. I'm talking figuratively. We're beautiful. All of you, by the way. You're all beautiful. So, that's what's psyching me to talk like this, you know? If you don't talk, it doesn't just come out freely when you stand around a bunch of people who just want to be nasty. It's more like, okay, I'll catch you around. So, with that, if God is there in hell with you, then that means that God's still at work and that you can come out of it. You don't have to stay there. Ever. Ever. I don't care what you've done or what you have not done. God is all about forgiveness. You know, in the Tao Te Ching, I always love it. I really like that anyway. But Tao Te Ching, in a nutshell, means the way of non-blaming. Imagine that. If I'm existing in a state of mind of non-blaming, I don't have to forgive. So I'm not capable of putting myself in a position where I need to forgive anybody. I'm going around non-blaming. Isn't that often what it is? I need to blame someone for my ill feelings. Oh, they said this, and I feel terrible. You know? Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, part of amends making, yes, okay, I screwed up, and I need to make amends. But it's basically, you know, how many times maybe the person's like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, or it's no big deal. Or they might say, yeah, you really hurt me, go away. You know? But either way, the bottom line is, we choose to feel what we want to feel. We choose to react and put an emotion to it. We're that powerful. So it's a shame to not realize this and to allow ourselves instead to be dragged up and down the street by whatever is being said by this person or that person or some half-baked idea or opinion or fact. See, I'm not standing here talking about opinions and facts. I'm talking about truth. It's a big difference between truth and opinions and facts. Opinions and facts are limited, even if they're great. They're still limited. Truth is truth. It's infinite. It's eternal. It comes from the almighty source. You can't touch it. You can't mess with that. But you can live it. And you can demonstrate in it. And you can have it. And you can make your life purposeful with it. And you can share it. But you cannot change it. You can give it your own creative concept. You can give it your own intellectual expression. But you cannot change it, you see. It's God. It's truth. But we don't hear enough of this for some reason. Seems to be even less of it out there today. For some reason, people just aren't so attracted to that. Which, really, I don't know why. I know why I didn't until I finally did, because I was getting away with being miserable until I finally couldn't take getting away with being miserable anymore. And I stopped it. I started looking for something else. And I had a faith in believing that that something else was really there. See, but that's faith with works, right there. I haven't done anything yet except believe that it's true. That's the first step in the right direction of faith with works. I've suddenly allowed the spark in me to come alive. I've allowed that inner flame to start having its say in things. I'm starting to go to the fountainhead within and allow myself to live. not survive. Not survive. God didn't create us to survive. God created us to live. You know, it's a very big difference. You know, so part of the scripture today, talking about the Alpha and the Omega, is, as I've talked about in the past, you know, the Alpha and the Omega isn't just a beginning and an end as we begin and end or think of things like that. It's the beginning and the ending, and it never, the beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning, you see. It doesn't have a go and stop spot. And that moves beyond what we think. It is an absolute in the paradox of spiritual truth. And it's hard to comprehend while we're existing here on earth and allowing the flesh to just take over and choose how things work as we fill our heads up again with these facts and these opinions. You know, and when you look at the history of the world, that stuff just keeps going on. You know, I'm not going to go out there and watch the whole world have a complete makeover. But I can have a complete makeover, and so can other people. We're what's known as the remnants, you see, in life. There are remnants. The Bible talks about it. You know, the walls of Jerusalem come down, they stay down. But who builds them back up? Not everybody. A few remnants come along and they build them back up. You know? Somebody who's like, nobody is, I can't think of it now. He was really, I think he was a servant to one of the kings. I can't remember his name because I didn't really take the time to review this part. It's just coming to me now. And he went to the king and, being a remnant and being in God's truth, said, it's time to rebuild the walls. And the king went, sure, and gave him all the money he needed to rebuild it. People have been trying to rebuild the wall for generations. It didn't work. But a remnant showed up and said, it's time to rebuild the walls. And they started rebuilding the walls. That's the power of God. That's not the person. That's not my personal power. That's God power. And that's faith with works. Got enough of the opinions and facts out of the way to step up into the stuff we're really made of. They used to say, and I think it's probably more from my grandfather's day and great-grandfather, they used to say Moses was the meekest of them all. And all that simply meant was Moses knew how to get out of the way and let God work through him. That's why he was the meekest of them all. But today we've twisted that word to meaning something like weak or, you know, and it's anything but that. It is a great, great strength that can only come from within. I've been trying to make a point, and I have it with me, something from Phineas Parkhouse Quimby, illustrating the word mind. And Quimby says, Jesus contended that he understood what he said and did, but the prejudice was so strong in favor of his having a power that they could not understand when he tried to teach them, that his acts and words proceeded from a wisdom superior to their belief and that it couldn't be taught. To question their belief was to make himself equal with God. In the same way, when I say that I know how I cure, the same class of people say blasphemy and make myself equal to Christ. They do not know how I cure and dislike to admit that anyone else does. Consequently, they strive to make my explanation as objectionable as possible. Huh. I think about all that work to do something like that. Instead of just saying, this guy's really doing this stuff. Instead, imagine the negativity that has to be conjured up and manipulated and brought into and philosophized and everything else to prove that a man who's healing people isn't healing people. And then to get other people to believe it. Oh, man. It's exhausting just saying that, so I won't repeat it. You know? It's exhausting to live like that. I don't want to live like that. You know, it just burns out the energy. Just bam. You know? And I am the energy. I'm what's making this body work, you know? Not God and myself, but it's what's making this body work. I've been given consciousness, and I've been given permission to have this body and do something with it for whatever time I'm here, until the next dimension, the next realm, the next whatever, you know? So to spend time like that, because Phineas, there's a lot of documented stuff, and he's truly not alone, was a healer. The disciples were healers, and they caught a lot of flack too. But they never claimed that they were like Jesus, and neither did he. But if you tap into Christ consciousness, which Jesus really teaches us, you can begin to work as he worked. You can begin to be in, you not begin, you are in the same consciousness he was in. But he was really doing it. He really had it. Flawless. But it's not like you're in a different consciousness. You're in Christ consciousness, or you're not. You know? It's not like, well, I'm kind of near it. It's no, you're in it. It's there right now, it's just waking up to it, allowing it to become more. See? And that's where our imagination and our creativity really comes in handy, because it can, that will work really nicely with allowing it to become more. You know? And it's not so much about talking. I mean, H.B. Jeffrey used to say that when you have it down, you can raise consciousness up in people, because Jesus never claimed to heal. So it's like, you know, first of all, a healer does not heal. Healers do not heal. Quimby did not heal. Jesus did not heal. God healed. You see, they were conduits. And so like H.B. Jeffrey, who was a great healer, said, look, if this is working and I'm raising consciousness, I could look at my patient or whoever I'm working with and say, hey, did you know that the moon is made of green cheese and the person's healed? Because it's not really even about the words. It's about the energy, you see. It's our energy that comes from our spiritual self. The part that's created in the image and likeness of God. You know, because we think this is what God looks like. I think a lot of times, I've said this many times, because, you know, a lot of times people are going, oh, we're creating the image and likeness of God. And in their mind, they've twisted it into God's created in the image of us. And so, therefore, have created a very small God. Because God's also created in the image of a tree, of a grain of sand, of a flower, and like it or not, of an insect. So, because it's all that God made, but it's the spirit self that's truly in the image and likeness, where the one-ship happens. Yes, all the physical is also in the image and likeness, but it's the spirit self that is truly in the one-ship. That's where we have our being, that's where we have our realizations, that's where we wake up and have revelation and affirmations and go, aha, and find it working in our daily living. That's what it's all about. You know? And what's better? It's something great to see somebody else and go, wow, they're doing really great things. It's really getting my faith going. But what better than to be a witness unto your own self? Huh? To see yourself going into this and having it make manifest. Because then it's like, whoa, this really is. I'm not imagining it at this point, you know. So, when we come into all this, it is so important to realize that we walk in the light. That is our salvation. That is our mercy. That is our wellness and our love. And when we get caught up in the darkness, oh, we just have to leave. The darkness is just a shadow. And all we need to do is remove ourselves from it and go back into the light. No matter how many times that happens. It's not about, oh, I do that once a month or I do it 100 times a day. It's that you realize that, then get out of there. Keep doing it. It'll get better. It'll get better if you keep practicing it. Because after all this is a practice. We're here on earth, I believe, to a greater extent, to practice. But let something wonderful happen today. Let it happen. And let all the other stuff just remove it. Don't let it come. Say, wait a minute, get away. Something wonderful's happening, so stay away. You know? Just let that happen. Give yourself that. Give yourself a gift today. And let that something wonderful happen. Keep happening. Okay. Well, if you join me in a closing prayer, we give thanks. We realize our absolute wonderful selves. That we are one. We truly are one, as it is written and as it is told, and as we can discover by living it. We simply say thanks, and we just realize that Mother, Father, all I need is you. And in that absolute knowing, all is well. And so it is. Amen.